7, Serbu v. Holder, 12-2320.
My name is Sergio Kodorak. I am appearing on behalf of the appellants, Mr. Serbu, Victor Serbu, and the writer, Yulia Prodan. You know, the lead appellant has had a history of persecution based on his political opinion and activism in the Republic of Moldova. And he filed for political asylum shortly after coming to this country in 2009, after actually suffering a head injury in 2009 as a result of protests. The BIA, in his decision, cites the Stanoyakova versus Holder case, in which they make a distinction, in which the Seventh Circuit makes a distinction between the discrimination, harassment on one hand, and persecution on the other hand. And it states that persecution involves the use of significant physical force against a person's body. In our case, the appellant was hit by police, tortured, and then...
It was while he was in custody, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
While he was in custody?
That's correct, Your Honor.
This wasn't just sort of a melee on the street?
No, Your Honor, both in 2000 and 2009, basically encompassing the whole nine-year period while he was prior to coming to the United States. So basically, yeah, he received a head trauma shortly, basically 2 weeks prior to arriving to the United States. So
Both he and his wife were candidates for the parliament, is that right, in the spring 2009 elections?
That's correct. You know, they were on the ballot, actually.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So basically, under that definition, you know, they were, then with a significant physical force applied against the body. So even if we go by the Stanoyakova versus Holder definition, so they clearly fall within that definition. Also, in another case, the Assani versus INS, the Seventh Circuit does not require serious injury to prove past persecution. I think in this case, even if we question the seriousness of the injury, there's still plenty of evidence to show that they were subject to past persecution.
The immigration judge credited his testimony about that 2009 beating by the police that rendered him unconscious, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can I just ask, if we agree with you on the issue of past persecution, obviously there have been dramatic changes in Moldova. If we were to remand this for further hearings, at least tell me if I'm right. If I understand the law correctly, and I hope the government will tell me as
sure.
Well, the burden of proof would then be on the government to show that changed circumstances meant that although there may have been past persecution under the communist government in Moldova, mm-hmm. circumstances have changed enough that there should be no reasonable fear of repetition. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor. They'll have to prove, and I have several cases, you know, going, you know, in that direction. The thing is that there have been many changes since 2009, mm-hmm. and normally I would bring in an expert witness to testify as to the, you know, what happened to Moldova over the last 3 years, which was not done in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, the BIA in its decision indicated that the incidents considered cumulatively do not rise to the level of persecution. I don't know if
the BIA said these don't compel a finding of persecution, which seems to be the standard of review that we're supposed to apply. I thought we're supposed to count on the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration judge to decide in the first instance whether the burden of proof has been met or not, and they seem to be deferring to us, taking our most extreme cases as to when a finding is not compelled.
Actually, in that phrase, you know, they don't even use the word compel. They say the incidents described by the respondent, when considered cumulatively, are not so severe that they rise to the level of persecution. They actually
right. The immigration judge spoke in terms of not rising to the level that compels a finding of past persecution,
yeah.
and cited cases along those lines. So,
mm-hmm. You know, a nine-year history, you know, of political activism, punctuated by detention, beatings, hospitalization, clearly rises to the level of persecution. If those, even considered cumulatively, if those events that took place in the lead appellant's life do not rise A lot of cases would be disqualified. Also, Your Honor, the question as to the appellant's failure to establish nexus between the incidents on the bus and the bus station, just briefly, that the BIA seems to point out to. The attackers in both incidents knew what the what political positions the appellant was taking. So it was not just a random criminal act by mugging a person or by doing something or causing harm, but they were clearly indicating, hey, we're doing that because of your political activism in Moldova. So it was clear they were acting as agents of the communist government of Moldova in both instances involving the lead appellant. The last point, the BIA indicated that the country conditions show that the Communist Party lost the election in 2009. Actually, they did not lose the election in 2009. They won the election by rigging the ballot. The elections which were held in 2010, Communist Party, they won the majority of votes. And what am I concerned most about now is that the people who were in positions of power right now in the Republic of Moldova, they were either they are either communists or appointed by the communism regime, which was in Moldova from 2001 to 2010. And the appellant's indicating to me that's what they're fearing. Even circumstances changed a bit, but not to the point where it would be a complete overhaul of the system. And I'm kindly asking to.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Potorek. Mr. Jolly.
May it please the Court. My name is Lance Jolly. I represent the Attorney General of the United States. To clarify a few things, the beatings that petitioner incurred, there's no indication in the record that they occurred during detention. It seems at most that they were incident to the arrest, perhaps, but he was only his detentions were short, and there's nothing that he was interrogated and beaten during his detention. They were in 2000, Sivu participated in a student demonstration in which he resisted the police attempt at dispersal.
Was that the 40-hour detention?
The 40-hour detention was in 2005, I believe.
Maybe you could help me out. I was under the impression that at the police station, Mr. Serbu was hit frequently on the head until he lost consciousness.
After 2009.
2009, yes.
The record does not indicate that he was under detention at the time.
Was he at the police station?
He may have been the police officer. The record's kind of vague.
Do you have the transcript in front of you at 84 and 85? I don't have it in front of me, I'm afraid.
The record and not of the transcript.
I've got the citation as AR 8485.
Okay. On April 7th, 2009, together with his wife, accusing the, talks about the thing, then talks about down with the dictatorship on April 8th, just after.
You need to read to yourself.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to hear all that muttering. If you get to something you want us to hear, then you can tell us that, because you're racing through. We don't need to hear that.
When the arrest began, my wife and I tried to escape but were unsuccessful. We were beaten and brutalized, and my camera was destroyed. We were shoved into a police van that was over passenger capacity and taken to a police station in the Siokana region of Chisinau. So that would indicate that the beating.
Is there any more?
My wife was arrested. We were held in a cell until late into the evening. I refused to pay. It does indicate that while I was being beaten and humiliated, my wife cried and called to the police, begging them to leave me alone. It's unclear whether that refers to when they were trying to escape the initial arrest or while they were being detained. Your Honor was also noted how while the immigration judge did use the compelling, it uses language similar to the compelling evidence standard. The board did not apply that language. but it was in its appellate review of the finding. And so the board applied the correct standard.
Do you agree that it would be erroneous for the board or the immigration judge to apply the standard whether the evidence compels a finding of past persecution?
Yeah, that would be error. And the board did not apply that standard in this case.
We clearly have that from the immigration judge. Right?
It could be read that he
said several times
said
and cited
several
cases.
Times. Yes.
The cases that were cited for comparison were ones in which we said the evidence here does not compel the finding of past persecution. And that really comes to my fundamental problem with the case. The board has not adopted its own standard, right?
The board has not defined the term persecution.
Right.
But through case law, it can become evident what is or what it considers persecution.
Well, okay. But if the board is citing our cases in which we are deferring to the board, then it seems like we're in this kind of circular situation of each seeming to defer to the other without relying on the expert agency, without ever getting a decision from the expert agency on is this persecution or not.
Part of the problem also is that the petitioner, in appealing the immigration judge's decision, raised no contention regarding the immigration judge's standard of review.
Well, he says he showed past persecution, and this is, I don't want to split hairs too much in terms of just exactly whether the right theory was argued. He clearly is saying having the police beat me unconscious for my political activities amounts to persecution, right?
That's just, yes.
Why is that unreasonable?
It's not necessarily unreasonable for an immigration judge or
that would be enough. It could be found.
Certainly. But the issue before the court is whether it's compelling evidence of past persecution. And petitioner's claim is much more akin to other decisions by this court in which it has found that it does not compel a finding of past persecution.
Okay, but we've got the, we've got a citation to Asani from the BIA in which we did reverse a finding that there was not prior persecution.
Right.
And then we've got a citation to Dandan.
Correct.
In which we said, if I may paraphrase, this could well be enough to support a finding of persecution, but we're not going to say it's compelled in this case.
Correct.
And that's where the board is turning for guidance in this decision. That's troubling. When what we're asking for is, if we're going to defer, it should be because the BIA is exercising its own judgment and expertise, not deferring to our decisions, deferring to them.
Yes. But the board did not. The board should cite case law, and it shouldn't be just specific to its own. I would think that this court would want the board to consider this court's decision.
We do, but we don't want them to misread.
Right. To the extent that the IJ that may have misread this court's immigration jurisprudence, there's no indication whatsoever that the board did so. And merely citing to this court's determinations does not in any way demonstrate that the board adopted a compelling standard for the past persecution in this case. And as substantial evidence supports the board's determination, this court should deny the petition for review. If you have any other questions.
Do you agree that if we do remand on the past persecution issue, if that issue were to come out the other way, the government would then have the burden of proof on changed country conditions?
The board did not make the alternative finding of, or there is no, so yes, remand would have to be done.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I gave him a little extra time. I'll give you two more minutes as well.
Again, the immigration court has made no adverse credibility finding in the decision. The appellant and his wife, the lead appellant and his writer wife, they went through a series of traumatic events in Moldova that clearly amount to past persecution. We want to get a chance to bring an expert witness in court if the case were to be remanded back to the immigration court, in order for the expert witness to testify what's the current situation in Moldova and whether there'll be a risk for them to go back to the country or not. Because in light of what was happening in 09, 010, the situation was still fluid, and you know, the judge was assuming that, hey, the opposition gained more votes, so the situation will be improving, but we don't know for a fact that that's the case. So we just want to have a chance, Your Honor, to have it examined again so that the expert will be able to present the argument.
Can you help us clarify the situation as to whether, I don't know if it ultimately makes a difference or not, but at least to understand whether this beating occurred at the police station or in the chaos of the streets?
In my understanding, for what I discussed the case in this morning as well with the appellants, that the 2009 beating clearly occurred in custody, because and there's plenty of record of hundreds of people being arrested as a result of April 5, 2009 elections, when they rigged, when people came out in the streets. Hundreds of, especially students, were targeted, arrested, and he had a head trauma. And several weeks later, he came to the U.S. and filed asylum, not because he was caught by the immigration, but affirmatively.
And he immediately filed.
There was no one-year deadline issued. That's right, and no criminal record and nothing. We're kindly asking for a chance for him to present his case, and we're asking the court to use the discretion to remand the case. Thank you very much.
Seeing there are no more questions, thank you, counsel, for your arguments, and we'll take the case under advisement.